And I tell you why, maybe in a little. Because for many of us at my age and probably a little older than us, we are a product in our Christian faith through missionaries that came to our country. And as we grew up, most of the missionaries that we know are white missionaries that came to our villages, to our jungles, and preached the gospel. And so we feel, as we sit with you, as with this color of skin, as reciprocating the joy that we have of that salvation. And so I had made up in my mind that when I get to heaven, I will ask Paul a question. And the question is, this was not part of the sermon, it just came when Mike talked. And the question was, the Bible says in Romans 9:15, blessed are the feet that carry the gospel. And since all the feet I saw in my country were white feet, the missionaries, I was going to ask Paul, which feet did you mean? And then recently we have started work in Kenya for children, for the orphans, for other groups in the country. Our first pastor, our second pastor in the church, my wife and I, were established with other elders in the Presbyterian church. Our second pastor was a black man from California. The work that I and another brother that do in Kenya, one of our administrators is a black lady from Washington. We have another black man who does all the dirty work of putting up the construction, is a black man from Washington. And here I come to Crossroad and I see Van and his family. Right there. And now I resolved my question to Paul, and I will not ask that question because even black feet are blessed. Hallelujah. And this morning, there's some more right here. Thank you, Mike, and your wife, Michelle. We lived at Stafford in Apple Grove. And one of the churches that we went to was Mount Ararat Baptist Church. And you probably know the Moyers, Chris Moyer and his family. That is another connection that we already have right here. Praise the Lord. I want to introduce my fellow Kenyans over here. You already know them. The Moyers are great friends. Starting with my wife, Margaret, who you already know and seen here. Very excited with Crossroad. We discussed Crossroad in one of our nights in the house and discussed other places we have been and the church that we know very well, that we are in Vienna Presbyterian Church under Pastor P. And somehow it's coming very clear that our transfer is close. We will talk about that later, not now. I'm very happy to introduce another member of the family. I had talked to Mike West about my member of the family when I knew where he was heading, the ministry to the Marines. And I told him that my daughter is a retired Marine. And this morning she is here. Sarah, Jerry, she's right here. A retired Marine. I served this country in the Marine Corps. And Sarah told me, I would like to meet Mike. You met him today. And there's some other friends of mine who also are known to Moyas who will go to Mount Ararat Church. My brother and my sister Patrick and Sandra Moasia. That's me. Very close friends of ours. There were some others that were supposed to come. They are probably either still looking for old stagecoach road, and probably they have turned around when they saw the junkyard. I don't know. Probably that's true. Enough of the introduction. We will get to the word, but let me say that I'm so grateful for Pastor Don and Pastor Tim for the invitation to share the Word of God today. I know we have very limited time this morning because of many things that needs to be done. And I'll be like that pastor who wanted to test what his congregation thinks about his sermons, because he's used to preach very long sermons. I'm also used to long sermons, too. And so he came in and he preached the sermon. And at the middle of the sermon, he stopped. And he was ready to say the prayer. But he noticed that his congregation are wondering, what happened? We are used to an hour, 2 hour sermon. And so he said to the congregation that my daughter asked, as she grows to like dogs. And now she asked me to buy her a dog, and I went out with my wife and we bought a dog. One thing that we did not know when we bought the dog is that this dog likes to eat papers. And so this morning, the dog ate half of my sermon. And that's why I have just preached half of the sermon. A visiting man who came to visit the church for the first time, as the pastor goes to the door to have people greet him, he came and he greeted the pastor and he said, "Pastor, that was great. Now, I want to ask you for a favor. When that dogs get puppies, when they get babies, I want you to give me one of them. I'll even buy it and take it to my pastor who preached long sermons." Now, I don't know what ate my sermon, but I think I'll be halfway because time has eaten my sermon. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Morris, for accepting my invitation, an invitation for the Crossroads Church. Thank you, Pastor Tim and your wife, Dorothy. You've been so nice and so kind in even going on that fateful Thursday to pick the Maoras and everything else. And you'd be interested that they housed the Maoras last night. And they said they had a very good time. This morning, I'd like my daughter to come over here and read the scripture for us. Where is the microphone? Underneath? Oh, there it is. You may want to clap for the Marine. Because I may not be referring to the scripture quite often, because I'm trying to get on the time. I'd like us to read the scripture so that we are familiar with it. It's in your bulletin.
I hope we had a dog so it can eat your summer, because you do talk too much. He's a great writer. He is a great writer. All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah, and I love the Lord, and I will read the sermon for this morning. Genesis 21, 8 to 21. And the child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered into the desert of Beersheba. Have you ever said that right? When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow short away. For she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God had the boy crying, and the angel of God called Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying, and he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with the water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an acre. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt.
You. God bless you. Now, as you have heard from the scripture, our pastors, Pastor Don and Pastor Tim, have taken us from the sermon series right from the beginning of Genesis, a series of sermons that have really a lot for us to learn. Not as just as a church, but as individuals, but also as a church and also as a nation. And we have seen parallel events that have to do with Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah, parallel events that were discussed to us. And at one time we even heard about the complaints of Abraham when God gave him the covenant of promise. And Pastor Tim was very careful to let us know that there are good complaints and there are bad complaints. Because good complaints accentuates the continuation of communication, and bad complaints stops any communication. And last Sunday, we had a very moving sermon from Pastor Don, and I was sharing with him outside there how I've been reflecting on that sermon last Sunday of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God shows his mercy, grace, and deliverance. And even when mercy and grace are pointing to the same thing, they are different. Because God shows mercy because we are under punishment. God gives grace, which is unmerited favor of God. And actually, in between the two, is the word deliverance, because we are delivered from both. And he asked he came short of Galatians 4:29, where Paul says, when you see these things, know this, it is the same even today. If you read that scripture, I would like you to read it for yourself. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 29. When you see these things happening, it is the same even today. This morning, I'd like to go into the verse that we read, pointing to a situation that is very common to our homes, very close to how our homes are. The situation right here can touch every life in a home. And it talks of a husband. It talks of a wife. It talks of a house girl. Maybe here in America you talk about nannies, or in our situation in Kenya we have house girls. Almost every home where children are, we have a house girl. And it talks about children. And you look at the emotions that are all across those sermons that we have heard. And even today, a tragedy of two families that are trying to live together. And it comes to a point where the two cannot coexist together. And it came to a time where it is not just the husband and the wife and the house girl and the children, even nations that are affected by the situation that we will see very briefly right here. And so the sermon is telling us, how does God use all these emotions to protect and to further his plan? Even when all these things are happening, even the situation of Sodom and Gomorrah, even the situation of King Belshazzar of the Philistines, God is still carrying out his plan. Bwana asifiwe sana. Praise the Lord. Bwana asifiwe means praise the Lord in Kiswahili. And God is still carrying his own plan and protecting it. It is not affected by anything that goes on, and it is not going to be even stopped. So God uses human emotions and protect and further his programs. So I want to start by saying that God has to had promised Abraham that your wife will have a son. And now there is a duration of a time before Isaac is born. And when Isaac is born, in our scripture here, there was great celebration. Great celebration. The Bible says, even before we begin in verse 8, that when the child was born, and in verse 8, there was great joy that came to this home, a celebration that made Abraham do what the Jewish people were not supposed to be, or they were not used to doing. Normally, the Jewish people celebrate circumcision of their children. They don't throw birthday parties like we do. And we see here, there is a birthday celebration when the child is weaned from his mother's feeding. Now the child is grown. He doesn't need he doesn't need his mother's milk. He can now eat vegetables. He can eat grains. And so Abraham throws a birthday party. And the reason for that is that infant mortality in those days is just like our own country. It is very, very easy for young kids with the immune system that is compromised to die at early age. And so when this child is circumcised, we are not told that there was celebration. But now that the child has survived this far without needing his mother's milk, it is time to throw a party, a birthday party. Now, if you would consider in our homes as we throw birthday parties, and I know there are children here that are listening to me, I am not against birthday parties. But there was a time my wife and I and a few other groups, we were discussing about how we do our birthday parties, and it has become a commercial birthday party. You go to Walmart, you hear a lot of wailing and crying from one side of kids, and another side they are screaming and crying because they are trying to pick up toys that the parents are saying, I can't afford that. We will not buy that one. Because all what we have known is giving gifts to our kids. But this scripture is telling us the survival of our kids is in the hands of God. Praise the Lord. We should be even including in our birthday party a celebration of a survival of our kids. It is not just fun, although fun is important. And Abraham knew the child of the heir of the blessings, of the promises of the covenant has survived. And as parents, as we do these things for our kids, we need to thank God that they so far have survived, even when we have fun in buying gifts for them. And so the Bible says the child grew. And on that day, Abraham threw a party. But there is another section that is completely forgotten. As the party goes on, we don't hear anything about Hagar. We don't hear anything about Ishmael. And yet, they are under the same domain. The domain of grace of Abraham. And so the first thing that we learn from this scripture is, one person's cause for joy is another person's resentment. One cause for one's joy is another person's resentment. And so we are told here that as Abraham threw this party, Paul is telling us it is the same today. For just an issue of mockery of Ishmael to Isaac, being reminded that at this time, Ishmael was probably 14 years old. And all these years without Isaac, he probably thought it is traditionally in this culture that the firstborn in the home is the heir of the inheritance. And now there comes another child who even benefits from a birthday party. And they are not even mentioned by name. They are not even mentioned by name. And so there is rivalry, there is quarrel, there is conflict in the house. And you Americans probably know better than us from Africa the problems we face with step parents and step kids in our homes. It is still the same today. And so we need to be very careful when we do these things, even in the church, in our societies. Because when one person's joy could be another person's resentment. Why did Ishmael laugh and mocked his brother? Consider the situation. He was a grown young man. As Paul mentioned earlier, Ishmael was persecuting Isaac. That's what Paul is describing the situation in that home, with love and mockery. You know the situation with Hagar when she became pregnant and she started despising Sarah. And that's why she was sent away. And the lesson we learn here is, we are not in that dispensation. We are in a grace dispensation under Jesus Christ. And yet, it is still the same. For we are children of grace, as Paul says, and we are always persecuted by those of the children of the law. Those who are part of the kingdom of God right now, you and I, under Jesus Christ. We are thought as kingdom of darkness. Paul is referring to the persecution of the church. He is referring to the persecution of the Judaism, persecuting the church, and his own persecution of the church before he met Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Almost 2,000 years from this period. 2,000 years later, we are still echoing Paul's words. It is still the same even today. You know of what is going on in Iran, in Egypt, of the Church of Jesus Christ. Churches are burnt. Christians are persecuted. And some even to death. Just because they are Christians. Not a day goes by that Christians are not cruelly opposed and persecuted around the world today. It is the same even today. It is even the same even in a country that is well developed like this one here. Why? Because most of those in control of media have made no secret of how they consider sincere born-again Christians. When we are sincere as Christians, we are considered old-fashioned, out of touch, dinosaurs who need to be extinct. They even use opportunities to belittle those who believe in Jesus Christ. They even take delight in pointing failings and fallings of any born-again Christian leader. When you hear of a leader in this country who is a born-again Christian that falls into sin, it is the highlight in the papers and in the news. They accuse us as Christians of being intolerant, narrow-minded, biggest, racist, and homophobic. That's how we are described. It is the same even today. For we are not under the law. We are under the grace of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Today is a very sad day in Sudan. You have heard of the news of Meyer Wayne, the girl that has been living with her son in the jail, in the prison. And now they had to wait for her to give birth to the second child before she is hanged, flogged and hanged because she married a Christian man. Very sad. I have a printout of that situation. And the heading of it says, "Baby's bittersweet first day. Mother faces hanging in Sudan." The baby girl born to a woman sentenced to hang in Sudan for marrying a Christian American citizen met her father for the first time, a moment that was captured in bittersweet photo. Daniel Wan, an American citizen who lives in New Hampshire, held his daughter, Maya, in his arms as he rested peacefully there, being born at Sudan prison earlier this week. The moment of joy was tempered by sorrow because her mother, Maria Yaha Ibrahim, has been sentenced to flogging and death by hanging by Sudanese court for marrying a Christian. The flogging and the death penalty has been delayed until after she gave birth to this girl. And now she is supposed to nurse that girl for 2 years, and after 2 years, she is hanged for marrying a Christian. It is the same even today. But what can we say about the promises of God? We sang the song that we stand on the promises of God that cannot fail, because God is God. God is a God of promise. And it is the same today. Why? Because if you forget anything else I said, please mark this. God is a God of promise because the permanence of God's character guarantees the fulfillment of his promises. The permanence of God's character guarantees the fulfillment of his promises. Sarah, up to this point, she has had enough. The first time is when she turns to Abraham. And she says, after Hagar harassing Sarah and laughing at Sarah that you have no baby. And Sarah turns to Abraham, her husband, and says, it is all your fault. It is your problem. I don't know whether she remembered she gave the maid to her husband. I'm not sure at that point. But she had had enough. What did Abraham do? Just like we do today as men to our wives. We have a saying in our Kikuyu language, and these people will understand it. When a woman speaks, we don't listen, but tomorrow we find out she was right. That is a saying in our language. When a woman speaks to us, we think she is, say cuckoo. Or she is not thinking right. But tomorrow, find she's right. And we have nothing, and we're embarrassed to say anything to that. And so Sarah is telling Abraham, it's all your fault. Abraham turns and instead of becoming a man and the leader of the house, turns to her and says, do whatever you want with her. Do whatever you want with her. Sarah is on her knees, just like my wife does in the house. She prays on her knees. She's a prayer warrior in the house. Sarah and God agrees that they should be sent away. And so when your wife and your God tells you something that needs to be done, man, we have no choice about the matter. If it was, because God, we think God is masculine, we think God is a man. So if it was Abraham and God saying something, we will probably dismiss it by saying, that's what men think. But now this is your wife, this is your God, and the both of them have agreed something needs to be done. You have no choice about it. And yet, Abraham was very distressed about the whole thing. Why was Abraham distressed? It's because Abraham treated Ishmael not as a slave, but his son. Abraham treated Ishmael as a son. And they probably played together. He probably taught him many things. And now God has delayed. And probably could it be that Ishmael will become the heir of the promise? He probably showed him outside where the flocks are, where the servants were, and taught him. He loved his son, Ishmael. And so this news of sending him away with his mother hurts. Because separation with our kids is not easy. Don't ever be told by anybody that separation with our kids is any easy. It's not easy. I do remember when our daughter was going into the Marines. She decided by herself that she was going to serve this country in the Marines. And so she came to tell us as parents. And she told us that that's when the Iraq war was there and everything else. I'm joining the Marines and my wife is going, no, and I'm going, yes. And the house was divided. The house was divided. My wife is going, no. I'm going, yes. This is a great opportunity for our daughter. But when it came to the time to go, my yes start coming down. When we think of Iraq, when you see in the news, particularly CNN, when death is for very young Marines, 20 years, 19 years old. Thank God she's here with us. But we also thank God for those who died for their country. It's a great sacrifice. And for those parents who have lost somebody in the battle. It is not easy to part with our kids. Equally, Ishmael loved his father. He loved his father. And he respected his father. Even after being sent away with his mother into the desert, he still respected and loved his father. How do we know this? Genesis chapter 25 and verse 9 says, when Abraham died at old age, Ishmael and Isaac buried his father. Ishmael and Isaac buried his father. In those days, it's not like today, when somebody dies, we call the funeral home, they prepare the body, they prepare the grave, they prepare everything else, we just go and take the body and we just go for a service and it's gone. Those days, they had to prepare the body, they had to prepare the grave, they had to prepare everything. And that is not something that Isaac would have agreed to his tormentor, to his persecutor, if Ishmael did not love his father. Ishmael and his brother Isaac buried their father. What does that tell us? Tell us fathers, a great deal. When your son is to be taken out, it may be in the military or everything else. What's your relationship with that boy or girl? And that's why I tell young people, when I speak to young people, I tell them, if you don't respect your father or your mother for anything else, they probably were not there when you were growing. They probably did not provide. For statistics tell us that 3 out of 10 homes, the person in absence is the father. So I tell the young people, if you don't respect your father or your mother for anything else, respect them for God using them to bring you into this world. When they die, go bury them. Show respect. We may not have it all together, but God is telling us families do matter. Marriages do matter. Children do matter. So what happens with the promise of God? Now that Isaac, that Hagar, and Ishmael have been sent away. They were not told like we tell our kids during graduation. Have you attended graduation and you hear, you have graduated, you are now going to the world, you'll be looking for a job, maybe the jobs will not be coming very soon, you'll be broke, but when you get into trouble, call, finish it for me, call your mother. That's what I hear in graduations. You never hear father. You hear, when you get into trouble, call your mother. What happens to the promise now that they have been sent away? In the passage that we read in verse 13, God repeats and confirms his promise about Ishmael. I'll make the son of maidservant into a nation because of what? Not because God was just merciful. Not because God wanted to do away with his plan. Not because he was changing his mind. He was going to bless Ishmael because of his father. Praise the Lord. So the righteousness and the faithfulness of a father is a blessing to our kids. It's just like Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. A household will be saved because of the faithfulness of a mother. A household will be saved because of the faithfulness of a father. And the Bible says, because he is your child. Because he is your offspring. That's why God blessed Ishmael, even when he is not the heir of the promise. That tells a lot to us as parents. Living for God, serving God, our children will not be lost. Amen? Our children will not be lost. Even when they go away, even when they rebel, even they go distant, they will still remember. The reason why the prodigal son came back home is not because he knew his father was waiting at the gates. The reason why he came home is he knew there is a door open for him. They will come home. And in conclusion, because my sermon is halfway, Peter reminds that God is not slow in keeping his promises. God promises the return of Jesus Christ. God promises life everlasting to us. God promises new heaven and new earth. God promises the day of the Lord. God promises forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, because God keeps his promises. Even it is the same today. I don't know what God has promised you. I don't know what covenant you have with God. But this morning, one thing that is true, he will return. That's what he told Abraham and Sarah. In a year's time, I will return. The same time, I will return. And he surely came back. And Sarah was pregnant with a baby, the heir of the promise. We stand on the promises that cannot fail. We stand on the promises of God, not anybody else. Because everybody else promises will fail. How many people have failed you? Many. In the jobs, in other places, people have failed us. But God promises will never fail. Never. They will never fail. Abraham knew that God is a God of promise. Abraham knew that God always keeps his promise. So he was able to send Hagar and Ishmael away. and is still the same today. Where they went is another story. It's another issue. Because where they went in Egypt, it's not a good place. If you read what Egypt represents, it's sorrow. But God is a God of promise. Let's pray. Father, you have spoken to us. As Maya Angelou, we remember today, this week of her death, said, we may encounter many defeats, but we refuse to be defeated. As C.S. Lewis said, God, you have promised us a home where you went to build. Why don't we look forward to arriving there? Father, you have spoken to us so clearly of your promises. Help us to uphold them. And even the choosing and the salvation of our lives is not of what we have done. For Isaac never did or say anything that deserved him being chosen. It is because of your unmerited grace. Because you are God of promise. Today, as a church, as a nation, we will not stand on human ingenuity that can't even tell us of a plane with 269 souls lost where it is. And only God can fathom those minds. As we look at the situation with Sarah, probably if we would picture her, it would be a different woman. A woman simply vindictive and cruel. But she was in the plan of God, which is fulfilled in the greater Isaac, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.